Romans chapter number 1. And let me first start off by saying that the book of Romans is, I guess, probably one of the most important books in the New Testament after you get saved. And even before you get saved, it'll show you how you need to be saved. And so the book of Romans is very, very important. Now, a lot of times people get saved, the first question they'll ask, what do you want me to read? What do you recommend that I should read? And a lot of times we'll tell them the book of Romans. Why? Because there's doctrinal truth in the book of Romans that you won't get anyplace else. Now, if you were in the Bible Institute last night, some of this will be repetitive, but you just hang on. I'll try to make it as interesting as possible. But let me give you an overview of the book of Romans real quick. If you'll remember, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is dealing with about a Messiah, about a king that's coming to take over a kingdom. And that's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all about. It's pointing to that kingdom and trying to bring the kingdom in. That's why Jesus came and healed the sick. He raised the dead. Why? He turned the water into wine to do one thing, and that was to prove He was the Messiah. He wasn't just healing people just to be healing people. He was healing people to prove that He was the Messiah. He's the one they've been looking for. And when they rejected Him and put Him on the cross, in other words, they said, well, you're not the king we're looking for, even though He was. They said, you're not the one we're looking for. You're claiming to be God, and He was. And they crucified Him on the cross. And then you have the book of Acts. Well, the book of Acts will take you from that little particular section, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts will transition you to the book of Romans. Although the book of Acts is a transitional book from, I give the illustration last night, when a church goes through a pastor, a pastor leaves or whatever he does and goes to another location, a new pastor comes in. There is a period of time that is a transition. Until that pastor gets the feel of things, he don't come in the first Sunday and change everything he wants to change. He does that gradually. If he did it the first Sunday, man, that'd be his last Sunday. There's a transitional period, and when Jesus dies on the cross, people just didn't wake up after Jesus dies and goes, hey, we're under grace now. No, they didn't know that yet. Even though they were under grace, they didn't know they were until somebody told them they were. And people woke up the day after Jesus rose from the dead, and they went to church on Saturday just like they did before the cross. Even though they didn't have to, they just doing what they knew to do until somebody told them to do something different. And so the book of Acts will take you that transition from one administration to the other. And guess what? After the Jewish books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, cross of Calvary. Acts will transition you, and guess what? The door closes, in other words, on the Jews here because they didn't accept the Messiah, and the door opens on this side, on the other side of the book of Acts, and goes into the book of Romans. Well, what is a bunch of Romans? Gentiles, that's me and you. This is where we get our doctrine from. Please, people, do not go to the book of Acts to get church doctrine. Because when you go to the book of Acts to get your church doctrine, you will find yourself confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You won't know which way to go. You put your finger on one verse in Acts, and then wake up the next morning and put your finger on another verse. They'll tell you two totally different things. Because why? It's a progressive transition. You started in the first part of the book of Acts. It'll tell you to repent, be baptized for every one of you for the remission of sins, and you should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You get on the other side of the book of Acts, Acts 16, and it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, what are you going to do? That's a transition from here to over here. And son, when the door swings open, here we are in the book of Romans. Ain't that good? Romans has 16 chapters, 433 verses. And it's the Apostle Paul is writing this particular book. Now, I want to give you the outline. You heard it last Wednesday night. I want to give it to you again because there's something here that we need to know. After you get saved, you need to know the book of Romans, the outline of the book of Romans, because it helps you in your Christian life. And if you're here on a Wednesday night, I hope and pray that all of you are saved. But if you're not saved, you can get saved even on a Wednesday night. In Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. I've got it written in pencil in the margin of my Bible. I write in pencil because if you write in ink, sometimes it'll bleed through the page. So I write in pencil. I got one of them mechanical things. And it writes in there real good. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 deals with sin. Before you can do anything else, you must identify sin.
Amen.
A person cannot be saved. Listen to me good. A person cannot be saved until he first realizes he is a sinner. And before a person can be saved, he must realize that he is lost. A person that is lost in the woods will never be found until they first come to themselves and say, "Hey, I am lost as a goose. Would somebody please help me? Help! Help!" That's what you did when you got saved. You were sitting on a church pew probably one Sunday or whenever it was. Maybe you sit home. Somebody came by, knocked on your door, wherever it was, and you realized you were out in the woods lost. And you cried out and you said, "Help! Help!" And God sent a little help your way. I'm feeling a little something on Wednesday night. I know you're not supposed to feel nothing on Wednesday night, you know, because it's Bible study. But I'm feeling a little something on that. Romans 1, 2, and 3 deals with sin. Chapter 1, I'm talking about, we ain't got time to read, but we'll get to it eventually. But I'm talking about goes through a step-by-step process of how wicked and undone this world is. Chapter 2 says, "You're an inexcusable old man." Nobody has an excuse. You can see God through the creation. He has manifested Himself through that. He's manifested Himself in a general way and through a special revelation way. And you don't have any excuse not to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I always get this question. We ain't got time to deal with this, but I always get this question. "What about so-and-so on the backside of so-and-so? Ain't never heard. Well, look here. Let me just say this. Adam and Eve knew. They told Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel knew. They had another kid named Seth. They told him. He knew. All the way down. So if there's somebody on the backside of somewhere that don't know what you and I know, somebody dropped the ball somewhere. Because everybody knew at the front. So somebody, guess what? Nobody, they're without excuse. Well, you may not like that one, but that's just the truth in a nutshell. 1, 2, and 3 deals with sin. Well, once you realize you're a sinner, guess what? Well, you write this one down. Chapters 4 and 5 deal with salvation. Man, you're not going to believe this. Turn, let's see, chapter 4 talks about Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Chapter 5, verse 1, read it and shout. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Even though I was a sinner in Romans 1, 2, and 3, I can be a saved, born-again Christian in chapter 4 and 5. And it goes through the whole thing. Read verse 8 of 5. Chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet," in chapter 1, 2, and 3, "Christ died for us," in 4 and 5. Now, I didn't read it right, but you got the message. "God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And there we go in chapter number 4 and 5. Look, this is real quick. Look at here, real quick. Will you write something down in the margin of your Bible? Go to 3:10 first. 3:10. Go to 3:10. This is elementary on a Wednesday night, but hey. Sometimes you need something like this. Romans after last night, I need something like this. My head's still hurting from last night. Or Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. When you're going to lead somebody to the Lord, you need to show them that verse. They got to see that right there. Because you know what they're thinking in their mind? I've never killed nobody. I've never murdered anybody. I've never run around on my wife. I've never run around on my husband. I've never stole, never robbed a bank. And they'll tell you that. And you know what you say? That's good. I ain't either. But guess what? It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. But there is none righteous, no, not one. And then you know what I put right here on that margin of my Bible? Out beside 3:10, I got Romans 3:23 written in pencil. That way I know to go to Romans 3:23. And when you go to Romans 3:23, chapters 1, 2, and 3 deal with what? Sin. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, ain't that so? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you've missed the mark. You've come short of that mark. You'll never be good enough. Everybody has sinned. That's including the Pope. That's including Mother Mary. That's including Mother Teresa. That's including whoever else you've got your faith and trust in other than Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody. And then on the outside of that, in my margin, I got Romans 5:12. I got 5:12 written in my margin of my Bible. Out beside that, guess what 5:12 says? Wherefore is the one man sinner in the world? That's Adam. That's the reason we're in the mess we're in right now. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You've got to show these people. Everybody is a sinner. You will not get saved until you see yourself as a sinner. You have to see yourself as God sees you. Now, if I look at myself in the mirror, I look pretty good. Feel free to say amen anytime you get ready. But look at here. When I look at myself the way God sees me, I say, oh. You know how you look in the mirror to see what God sees? That's why people don't like looking in here. I don't like looking in here. Give me one that's got less words in it. I don't like this. Give me something new. This right here, something wrong with this mirror. This is something wrong with this mirror. No, it's something wrong with the person looking in the mirror. Amen. That's how God sees you. You look in the mirror and you go, boy, I'm ugly. Man, I thought I was looking pretty good, but man, you look to what God looks at. And then on the outside of Romans 5:12, I got Romans 6:23 wrote down. And what I got wrote down. 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. All right, if you realize you're a sinner, guess what? Sinners die. But aren't you glad for this conjunction? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to. If you stay a sinner, you're going to die. If you want to live forever, now y'all know this, I'm going to live forever. If you're saved in this room, you'll live forever. You say, oh, now preacher, well, I've seen a lot of saved people. We had to carry. They didn't die. You thought they died. They didn't die. They just went to sleep. They just closed their eyes, and it's like, when you send mail to their house, you get that little thing back. It says their address has been forwarded to another location. They didn't die. They just moved to a new address. I mean, their mail's just forwarded. Oh, we planted them in the ground. I know that, but just wait. That body right there will be changed one day and be changed. When you read in the paper, Jerry Ballinger passed away last night in the middle of the night. Jerry Ballinger passed away asleep last night. Obituary. He was born 1973. Da, da, da. Just throw the paper away. Don't believe that. Don't believe that one bit. Because you know what will happen to me? I'll close my eyes in death, and I won't never miss a beat. I'll just close my eyes. I'll quit breathing down here and take my first one up there. The sting of death is gone, so there's no pain to die. So when I just take my last one here, I don't ever miss a beat. I take the next one up there. And it'll be like I'll live forever. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then you show them what I got over there is Romans 5:8, what I got on the outside of verse 6:23. We've already just read it. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you show that person right there, hey, you're a sinner? Yes, I am. I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself. Well, look here. Sinners die. But you ain't got to die if you don't want to. Well, who don't want to die? Well, tell me how I can't, how not to die. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. What's the gift of God? 5:8. God commended His... I'm feeling a little happy on that. God commended His love. What's the free gift? God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Now, would you like to accept that free gift? And then put it right there. There you go. And you say, and they say, yes, I do. And you feel like the Lord is really dealing with their heart. And can I, let me say this right. Let me throw this in real quick. We've trained ourselves to think that salvation is in a prayer. Salvation is not in a prayer. It's a heart matter. And when that heart cries out and says, I see myself. I'm a sinner. You know what? I think a lot of people get saved before they ever get down to the altar. When they decide to step out, and hit this direction. Now, I mean, we're not going. How many steps does it take before they get saved? We're not. I ain't talking about that. But it's a shifting of that heart when they decide to step out right there. Or if you're at the house and you're on the death and kneeling down on the bed or the bedside or couch side, whatever. There's a turning of that heart where they say, "I see myself, and I need to cry out to God for help." And they ultimately, they're praying with their heart. That's why Romans 10, look at Romans 10 real quick. And I'm gonna show something else to you real quick. Romans 10. Verse 9. You ready? Now get this, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now wait. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking this right here. You're thinking right here. Confess. Well, let me ask you a question. Then can a person that can't talk, can they be saved? If that mouth right there is this one, then a person that can't talk can't be saved. Because they can't talk with this one. You want to know what the mouth is right there? All right, let's watch. Keep reading. Watch. This is how the King James Bible is laid out. It's perfect. It's beautiful. Watch. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, underline mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy that God has raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's the mouth? It's the mouth of a heart. You say, preacher, how do you do that? It's easy. I do it all the time. When you pray, do you always move your mouth when you pray? I'm driving down the road. Ain't no sense in talking out loud. I mean, ain't nobody in the car. People think you're crazy if you do that. So you just drive down, man, you're praying, and ain't even moving your mouth. But the mouth of the heart's moving. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Now, don't close your eyes while you're driving. Don't close your eyes. Lord, I think, and you ain't got to open your mouth. That's why I say they'll never be able to take prayer out of school. How are you going to take prayer out of school and keep a kid from praying with the mouth of the heart? You might keep him from praying with this mouth, but you ain't going to keep him from praying with this one. As long as there's final exams, there's going to be prayer in school. You mark that down. Man, that's the closest I've ever been to the Lord when test time came. Thou shalt confess thy mouth, Lord Jesus, believing in thy heart, and raised from death, thou shalt be saved. Now, let me give you this outline real quick. I just felt like I need to share that. You say, oh, preacher, that's just so simple. We've heard the Romans road so many times. I know it, but you know what? There may be somebody in here that never seen that before. 1, 2, and 3 deal with sin. All right, after you realize you're a sinner, chapters 4 and 5 will tell you how to get saved. 5:1 will tell you how to get, therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God. All right, after you get saved, chapters 6 and 7, all these begin with S. 1, 2, and 3 deal with sin. 4 and 5 deal with salvation. 6 and 7 deals with self. You know what's going to happen when you get saved? Well, let me tell you. I may not have time to tell you this whole outline, but watch this. Before you got saved, your whole body is just one person. What the body did, the soul did. What the soul did, the spirit did. They're all just one right there. You with me? That's why before a person gets saved, it's just all one. But after you get saved, you become two. And them dudes do like this. Y'all with me? And so after you get saved, you will battle self more than you will anybody else. More than your wife, more than your husband. No amens, please. But you will. After you get saved, before it wasn't no problem because the soul and spirit, they were doing what the body did and everybody was all in hunky-dory before you got saved. But when you got saved, man, you created something. You got a split personality now. And them two guys don't like one another. And so chapters 6 and 7 will tell you about yourself. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Chapter 7, look. Chapter 7. I love reading this one because it's confusing. Apostle Paul said, man, after I got saved, I started battling self. Verse 7:18. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, y'all are scratching your head like I do, but I love reading that verse. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I want to do right, but every time I get ready to do right, I wound up doing wrong because these two guys are fighting all the time. And I want to do right, and I'm trying to live for God, and every time I'm trying to live for God, and these two guys, it's like I'm a split personality. He said, I try to do, and when I get ready, I fall on my face. I pick back up and say, hey, I go down to the altar, get right with God, I go out Monday morning, and man, here it is, I face the world, and here we go again. Man, it's just... All right, then chapter 8 will tell you about the Spirit. 6 and 7 deals with self, but chapter 8 will deal with the Spirit. What is it? Chapter 8 deals with, what is it? Chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do the things of the Spirit. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see that? When you get saved, you have the Spirit of Christ. He moves in, you become two persons on the inside, basically. Now, a lot of people live in chapter 7. They never move to chapter 8. After you get saved in chapter 4 and 5, you've got to learn how to move from living in chapter 7. Chapter 7 Christians are trying to do it themselves. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live. You might as well forget you can't live for God. Until you move to chapter 8. And once you move into chapter 8, the Holy Spirit will live for God through you. It'd be like a person that puts a glove on. Y'all are looking at the glove move. It really ain't the glove moving. It's the hand on the inside that's moving the glove. See that right there? You understand? Anyway, that went over pretty good. All right, chapters 9, 10, 11. I'm going to give you, I got 5 minutes. 9, 10, 11. Starts with S, deals with the sovereignty of God. Say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? That means God can do anything He wants to. Chapter 9 will give you Israel's past. Chapter 10 will give you Israel's present. And chapter 11 will give you Israel's future. The sovereignty of God. We'll get into some of those tricky verses there that always bog people down. And then, here's where I want to get to before I leave tonight. Look at chapter 12. He does all of that. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. To get us to chapter 12. Watch this and we'll be done. Chapter 12. He says in verse 1, I beseech you, brethren. Talking to saved people. Why is he talking to saved people? Because they got saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let me give you this. We're almost done. Watch. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Apostle Paul had a lot of authority. Watch. He could have insisted that them people serve God. A lot of preachers tried to mandate and make their people serve God. Now get this before we close. It's very, very important. But Paul doesn't use the forceful word. He says it like this. I beg you. Would you please serve God? You say, preacher, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you. I'm a daddy of three kids. As they grow up, I make them mind me. And let me just pause and park and pull over just to the shoulder of the road for a minute and say something. If your kid is under the age of 18, if you tell him to whoa, he better whoa. Or you jerk that mule's head off. Oh, now, preacher, you just don't. You better, or he'll jerk you around. Right. Right. Anyone was supposed to say that on Wednesday night. Come on. Amen. Amen. But I mean, I got three kids, and I make them mine. I mean, I'm telling you, and they, of course, I got two boys. You know, they'll sass you every now and then. You just have to pop them real good. You know. You know what I mean? I'm not talking. Now, y'all don't go out and say, Brother Jeremy abuses his kids. I don't. But I want to sometimes. Here's my point. Let me get to my point before I get in a hole. As I grew up, I can make them obey. And if they don't obey, I'm talking about busting. But watch. There has to come a time in that child's life where they obey. Without being told. You got that? It takes 11 chapters for Paul to get people to the point. Hey, yes, I can get up here and beat the pulpit and say, hey, you ought to wear this, you ought to not wear this, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to cut your hair a certain way, everybody ought to cut their hair just like I do. And me and James, we got a few more. The rest of you backslid. But watch this. There's something about when a lot of preachers, man, they'll cut and beat the pulpit. Bless you. If you ain't in church, I'm going to call your house. I'm going to, you know, come looking in your windows, come going through your trash can, see what you've been doing. That's how you do little kids. There's got to come a time when people serve God without some preacher up here trying to, I mean, just beating the pulpit all the time, beating people over the head, telling them what they can wear, what they can't wear. If you get right, the Holy Spirit of God will tell you what you can and can't wear. The preacher won't have to tell you because the Holy Spirit's already told you. Amen. That went over real good. Let me take my glasses off. Y'all look better with my glasses off. This one, Paul said. He said, I'm begging you. I mean, Paul's, yeah, I mean, I started this church. I mean, I could make it. Yeah, I can get up here and beat the pulpit. But he just said, I beseech you. I'm just begging you. Serve God. How do you do that? You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And let me end with this. Let me give this a little pre-point. Some of you preachers might want to preach this sometime. There's a presentation. There's a transformation. And there's a confirmation. A presentation. I present my body, a living sacrifice. Getting up on the altar and just laying down and say, God, whatever you want me to do, however you want to use me, whatever you want to do, that's what I'll do. I'm just getting blank check. Blank check. You fill it out whatever you want. I mean, it's not, okay, Lord, this is what I'll do, 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 this is what I won't do, this is what I won't do. All right, here, Lord. Just give him a blank sheet of paper. Say, here's a blank sheet of paper, Lord. You just fill it out. That's a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Read, sir. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Water conforms to whatever's holding. If it's in a round-shaped glass or whatever, the water turns to that shape because it conforms to what it's holding. If you're touching the world, you'll conform to it. If you're in the world, you will conform to whatever shape. I'll save that for Sunday morning. Transformed, I'm done. Caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. Is that right? Have I got my biology right? Transformed butterfly. But a caterpillar likes roaming around in the dirt. He's satisfied doing it. And everything that caterpillar sees is humongous. Man, them trees is big. My goodness. Man, that bird might get me. Man, that's a humongous bird. Everything looks big when you're walking around in the dirt on the floor.
Yeah.
But Paul says if you ever get transformed into a butterfly, you can fly above.
Yeah.
And the big tree that looked so big to the caterpillar, the same tree, don't look that big to the butterfly. Because why? He's been transformed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I lost all my shouts, but anyway. Sometimes people say, oh, my problems, oh, they're just about to overtake me, man. They're just over big, big. Well, sprout you a little, some wings.
Yeah.
Fly above, transform by the renewing of your mind, and problems don't make that big anymore. Say, preacher, I got, man, I'm telling you, I'm just so down, and I'm just this, and I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I just can't take no more. You talk to them 2 weeks later, they're still taking it. Preach, I can't take no more. I'm at my wit's end. I'm about to let. I just can't take. Talk to them 2 weeks. They still take it. How do you know how much you can take unless you took all you can take? Lord, I'm about. You know, that's what. You just. I tell you what we ought to do. Sometime we'll just take a field trip as a church and go down to La Bonner. Walk through St. Jude, walk through the hallways. I guarantee you we'll come back happier than we've ever been in our life. Amen. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to end that way. I meant to end happy on a happy note. I got to everybody. But don't be a caterpillar. Be a butterfly. Well, anyway. Hey, you might want to be saved tonight if you're not saved. You ought to be if you're not. You ought to be saved. Say, preacher, I've been thinking about that. I need to talk to somebody. Hey, see us after church. We want to see everybody saved. Ain't joining the church, ain't what it's all about. Joining the church, ain't, that's not being saved. Baptist, that's not being saved, getting baptized, that's not being saved. Teach a Sunday school class, that's not being saved. It's a heart matter between you and God. And some you may be sitting in a room and you're still living in Romans 1, 2, and 3. And you need to move to 4 and 5.
Amen.
And if you are saved and living in 4 and 5, you need to get to chapter 12.
Right.
Transform yourself. Anyway. Question, comment? All right, let's have some prayer requests.